Fluorocarbon liquid. Faraday. Sure enough, the predators had led Faraday to the Leviathans. One sensor set after another confirmed that a huge agglomeration of the gigantic creatures was moving steadily through the dark sea in a massive spherical formation. The predators themselves had slowed their own advance and remained at a considerable distance from the Leviathans. Faraday's human analog program projected an image of lions hunting on a wide grassy plain on Earth. Their prey was a herd of spiral-horned antelope, off in the distance, loitering by a sluggishly moving stream. The tawny beasts hunkered down in the long, waving yellow grass, crawling slowly on their bellies to get close enough to the herd to attack and kill. As some of the antelope stooped to drink, other members of the herd stood alert, ears twitching, sniffing the wind for a scent of danger. An analogy. Faraday's central computer understood, programmed into the memory core to help the computer to recognize what its sensors showed of the alien undersea world. The shark-like predators swam off to one side of the huge, spherical formation of Leviathans. They stayed the same distance from the outermost periphery of the herd, content to wait. For how long? Central Computer's forecasting subprogram did not have enough data to make a meaningful prediction, but the timeline showed that Faraday's mission was almost at its conclusion. Already the countdown for returning to the orbiting research station had started ticking. A human observer would have found the situation maddeningly strange. The predators were following the Leviathan's spherical formation, neither coming closer to their prey nor abandoning their long chase. The Leviathans showed no indication that they recognized the danger lurking nearby. 1 minute left in the mission, the timeline showed. Main propulsion drive activated. Intake valves open. Fusion power plant ramping up to heat the intake water into plasma. Propulsion jets ready and on standby. Suddenly, the spherical formation of Leviathans shifted, split apart into two separate halves. From the core of the formation, a mammoth Leviathan glided purposefully outward, its flanks flashing colors that shimmered through the water. Like a school of fish, the predators immediately turned as one unit toward the creature that was emerging from the Leviathan's formation. Faraday's priority hierarchy demanded that a fresh data capsule be prepared. This kind of behavior had never been observed before. The major priority, second only to self-survival, was to send this data back to mission control. The timeline showed 47 seconds left in the mission. Central Computer concluded it could carry the data to mission control without risking a data capsule launch. But the priority hierarchy insisted that a capsule be launched. Redundancy, Central Computer recognized. Better to have the data relayed to mission control twice than not at all. If Faraday became incapacitated, unable to get out of the ocean, the data capsule would still deliver the information to mission control. That decision took 14 nanoseconds. Faraday ran a final diagnostic check on its main propulsion system, even while its sensors showed that a huge Leviathan was leaving the protective formation of its group and heading away from them, alone. The predators slowly, warily approached the lone Leviathan as it glided majestically away from its kin. 25 seconds to propulsion ignition. Central computer's timeline showed. Data capsule programmed and ready for launch. The lone Leviathan began to shudder as it swam away from its fellows. Part of the huge beast separated from its main body and floated aimlessly away. Not for long, though. One of the predators broke from its formation and slashed at the separated piece with scimitar-sized teeth. The predators swarmed over the lone Leviathan, tearing at it, while the rest of the Leviathans swam slowly away, as if nothing were happening. "Launch capsule," central computer commanded. "Ignite main propulsion drive." Faraday launched the data capsule, and milliseconds later lit up its main drive. Superheated steam drove the spherical submersible upward, like a pellet fired from a rifle, while the predators tore at the lone Leviathan, and the rest of the herd of gigantic creatures moved steadily away from the scene of the carnage.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Leviathans of Jupiter by Ben Bova. Read by Cassandra Campbell, Gabrielle DeCure, Samantha Eggar, Rosalind Landor, Stefan Rudnicki, and Judy Young. Main Conference Room. Grant Archer stood at the head of the conference table and looked at the various department heads arrayed along its length, chatting in muted tones with one another. Down at the foot of the table sat Max Yeager, looking wary, almost suspicious at the scientists flanking him on either side. At least Yeager looked presentable. He had shaved and put on some fresh clothes. Catherine Westfall sat at Archer's right. She seemed mildly bored. Three of her aides were seated along the wall behind her. "Let's come to order, please," Archer said, tapping the tabletop with a fingernail. The various conversations stopped. All heads turned toward him. "We're here to review the results of Faraday's mission," Archer said. Making a slight bow toward Westfall, he added, "And we're honored by the presence of a member of the International Astronautical Authority's Governing Council." One of the scientists clapped her hands lightly, and immediately the rest of them joined in. Westfall smiled demurely and raised her hands in a modest signal to silence them. "Faraday returned 3 days ago," Archer resumed, "apparently undamaged. We'll review the significance of the data it carried back with it, but first I want to ask Dr. Yeager how his examination of the vessel's systems has gone." Yeager had indeed shaved and scrubbed for this meeting. His long hair glistened as if he'd just stepped out of a shower. He was wearing a spanking new tunic and slacks of a golden-brown, sandy hue, yet they somehow looked wrinkled and baggy on him as he got up from his chair. Pointing a palm-sized remote at the wall screen to his right, Yeager said, "I could spend a few hours going over all the details." The screen showed schematics of Faraday's layout. "But the long and short of it is that the ship performed well within specifications. All systems worked as designed. Even though she took a bit of a battering from the sharks, there was no significant damage." "Significant damage?" Westfall picked up on the word. Yeager forced a smile for her. "By that, I mean there wasn't any damage at all. All systems worked fine. She went down to her design limit depth."
"How deep is that?" Westfall asked.
1,000 kilometers below the surface," Yeager replied. A little sheepishly, he added, "Actually, she bottomed out at 914 clicks. "The vessel worked as designed," Archer said, cutting off any further dialogue. "Thank you, Dr. Yeager. Your ship performed beautifully." Max grinned even more widely and sat down. "However," Archer went on, his expression turning more serious, "we have less than satisfactory results from the mission." Before Yeager could react, Archer explained, "I mean that Faraday spent most of its time in the ocean searching for the Leviathans, and almost as soon as it found them, the ship left and returned here."